Hi, and welcome to the Scottish Song Guide with the Sorries. I'm Marty.
And I'm Douglas.
And today we're going to talk about Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah, which is probably the most famous and widely sung of all Scottish songs.
The lyric has remained more or less unchanged since Burns' version was published, although people have been tinkering with it for a couple of hundred years up until that point.
Yeah, whereas, interestingly though, there have been two different tunes to which the song has been set.
Should old acquaintance be forgot, never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot, and old lang.
Robert Burns never heard his words with the tune that we all know,
that's enough.
Got the high note that time.
That was the first time for everything.
But that tune was first published with those words after Burns' death in 1799. Although another Burns song written or collected by him, there's a bit of debate, called O Can Ye Labour Lee, Young Man, that was published in 1792, and that was set to the tune that we now sing, to Auld Lang Syne. The roots of that tune were in an older folk tune called, a dance actually, called The Miller's Wedding, or The Miller's Daughter, which then kind of evolved into a piece which was written by Robert McIntosh called Sir Alexander Don's Strathspey.
That's easy for you to say.
Not so you'd notice, but... So, and that's the tune that we now know.
Yeah, and that tune was fairly widely known, even by the mid-19th century. So, for instance, it was used, it made it across the Atlantic into America, and it's used, someone set an abolitionist song to that same tune as well.
Yeah.
So it's been used a lot.
I am an abolitionist, I glory in the name, I think was how it started and fitted to that. And I think America... Yeah, I think America the Beautiful was also sung to that at some point. And then by the time we got into the 20th century, the Korean national anthem was sung to that tune for about 30 or 40 years, I think.
So that's a nice little obscure fact.
Yeah, but that could spell the end of my music career. So.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop now.
Old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind. Should old acquaintance be forgot and Auld Lang Syne.
The interesting thing with Auld Lang Syne is that because it's a song which is so widely known and so widely sung, most of the people that sing it, I think it's fair to say, don't actually know what the words mean.
Or can't remember what the words mean at the time they're singing it in New Year.
Yeah, well, speak for yourself. I'm usually driving you.
So, Auld Lang Syne itself is probably the first place to start in terms of an explanation of this song. Auld Lang Syne, the lyric, it just means old long ago, if you like. So it's a song about memories.
Yeah, and about coming back together with old friends.
And I think... it's the value of those old friendships, I think, is one of the things that the song's about. So you have the first verse, should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and Auld Lang Syne? Which is basically saying, should we forget, you know, times long ago? Should we forget what happened then? And the chorus comes romping in with, no,
we shouldn't. For Auld Lang Syne, my dear, for Auld Lang Syne, we'll tack a cup of kindness yet for Auld Lang Syne. So... we'll be back together with old friends, having a drink, sort of reunited. And because of this sort of sentiment of reconciliation and returning home, as it were, in the song, during the American Civil War, the Union tried to restrain the singing of it because of the effect that they thought it might have on the soldiers. But funnily enough, at the end of the Civil War, when the terms of surrender had been signed, General Grant then ordered the band to play it because... of the, again, that sentiment of reconciliation, and it was a time to move on and, you know, be as one again.
Auld Lang Syne, my dear, for Auld Lang Syne, we'll tack a couple kindness yet for Auld Lang Syne.
last verse of the song is generally used as the second verse, because when Auld Lang Syne is sung, most often it's sung with the first verse, then the chorus and the second verse, and then a repeated chorus, although there are another three verses. But the last verse says, "And there's a hand, my trusty fear, and gie's a hand o' thine, we'll tak a right good willy wacht for Auld Lang Syne." So that is, we'll be back together and we'll be drinking together, thinking about old times.
Yeah, good willy wacht. A wacht is a draft, basically, a strong drink. And a good willy is just for goodwill. A goodwill draft is the kind of literal translation of it. So we'll take a drink, just wishing each other well.
Yeah, so it's basically a drinking song. And one of the other verses, which is usually missed out, is about buying a drink with a friend. Whereas the other two verses, which are often left out, are much more reflective.
Yeah, and like I was saying earlier, I think the tone of the original melody brings that out a lot more effectively, I think.
We twa hae ran about the braes and put the gowans fine, but we've wandered mony a weary fit sin Auld Lang Syne.
That whole thing about put the gowans fine is just, pulling daisies. It's kind of a naturalistic image, so running about the hills, running about the braes, and picking these wild flowers. It's a lovely kind of naturalistic image about childhood, I think. But then he moves on and says, "We've wandered many a weary fit." This idea, this the weariness that's crept in. It's life, isn't it? It's the transition from childhood to adulthood.
Yeah.
That's happened since they last saw each other.
And that continues in then the verse which I usually sing. We twa hae paddled in the burn, and again it's that image of them, in the country. And again, it's that third line in it really is the kind of the one that brings you.
It's the kicker.
But seas between us braid hae roared. And I always love singing that verse and that line with the old tune, because it really brings out that feeling.
We twa hae paddled in the burn, frae morning sun till dawn. But seas between us braid hae roared, sin Auld Lang Syne. For Auld
The roots of Burns's lyrics are fairly far back, I think probably a couple of hundred years before he eventually came up with his version. So you have a fragment in the Bannatyne manuscript in 1568, there's a refrain, "And auld kindness is quite for yet." And then you move on through the end of the 17th century. There's a "Should Auld Acquaintance Be Forgot and Never Thought Upon?" And these are stanzas that are set in two different versions. Moving through into Ramsay, Alan Ramsay, who published a version of Auld Lang Syne, which is much more kind of literary and kind of learned, full of classical references.
Yeah, and a lot more martial as well, I think.
Yeah, that's right, that's true.
And that was 1721, I
1721,
think,
yeah.
That was published. And in Ramsay's version, we see the original tune, the more sort of melancholy tune, or a very close relative of that melancholy tune, with the words.
For Auld Lang Syne, my jo, for Auld Lang Syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet, for Auld Lang Syne.
It's interesting with that old tune, how Burns actually felt about it, because at one level, Bob Irvine's version of Burns' selected poems is sort of saying, he says that Burns wrote to Mrs. Dunlop in 1788 and said that it was an air and words that had thrilled his soul. But then later, he seems to change his mind a little bit about the melody.
Yeah, he talks about it as being but mediocre.
Yeah.
Which I always thought was a bit harsh, actually.
It is, yeah, absolutely.
Such a lovely tune.
But obviously, he wasn't the only one who thought that, because so quickly after his death, and so quickly really after the first version was published,
I think it was only 3 years apart, or something, wasn't it?
That someone, that is it, Thompson, is setting those words to a new tune, the tune that we all now kind of know and love and sing all the time.
Yeah. It's interesting to think about you know, the extent to which the tune, which is a very up tune, the one that we know now, has dictated it kind of contracting into the shorter song and dropping the sort of more melancholy verses.
Yeah, because it's now, it tends to sort of start off all sort of slow and staid, and then certainly in Scotland, you know, you're linking hands and jumping about into the middle of the room by the end.
Yeah, indeed.
Hope you've enjoyed the podcast. You can find more information and some further reading on our podcast website, scottishsongguide.com.
And you can find out more about us, and you can hear the songs by going to thesorries.co.uk. And we also have a Facebook page where you can get in touch with us, which is Facebook/thesorries. And you can see videos of us playing songs on YouTube, etc. Thanks for listening. If you want to subscribe through iTunes, you can now do that. And we shall see you soon.
Yeah, see you soon.